Prosecutors are now presenting a fuller picture of what they say happened to a University of New Hampshire student, Elizabeth Marriott, who has been missing and presumed dead since last October. Police arrested a man from Dover, Seth Mazzalia, shortly after Marriott went missing, but it wasn't until the last few days that a grand jury formally indicted him on a series of charges, including first and second degree murder. Reporter Jim Hadadine has been following this case for Foster's Daily Democrat. He joins me now with an update. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Brady. Thanks very much for having me.
First, what are prosecutors now saying took place on October 9th that apparently led to the death of Elizabeth Marriott?
We still don't have an outline of everything that allegedly happened that night, but the new information that we have is prosecutors are saying that Mazzalia used a rope to strangle Elizabeth Marriott inside his apartment.
And the charges present a couple of different theories about how that came about, and that they don't necessarily square with each other.
It's true. When you're bringing a murder case like this, if you have alternate theories that you're going to present in court, or you haven't settled which theory you're going to present in court, either way, you need to bring all of that to the grand jury before you go to the trial. So we see three different charges that are all basically variations on how this murder occurred, but also what Seth Mazzalia's mental state was when he allegedly killed Elizabeth Marriott. So we have two first-degree murder charges. The difference between them is one of them is the highest mental state. It says that he purposefully strangled Elizabeth Marriott. Another first-degree murder charge claims that he knowingly caused her death while he was in the process of sexually assaulting her in the apartment. And then we have a third murder charge that is a second-degree murder charge, which is one step down, claims he recklessly caused Elizabeth Marriott's death. And there's also a fourth charge, which has to do with the actions that prosecutors say he engaged in after the murder took place to try to cover up the crime.
And that includes conspiracy, because there's another person who is allegedly involved in that reported cover-up.
Right. Well, the second figure that who's emerged as a defendant in the case is a woman named Catherine McDonough, who is now 20 years old, from Portsmouth. She was Mazzalia's girlfriend. She was living in his apartment in Dover when the murder took place. And prosecutors laid out a lot of new information that describes the lengths to which they allegedly went to cover up the crime, that included at 11.05 p.m. that night sending a text message to Elizabeth Marriott's phone to make it seem as though she had never reached the apartment in Dover where she was headed that evening. Prosecutors are saying that they also deleted the text messages on their own phones that night and then allegedly used Elizabeth Marriott's vehicle to drive her body to Pierce Island in Portsmouth, where sometime between the evening of October 9th and the morning of October 10th, they discarded her body into the Piscataquis River. Beyond that, they're also accused of going back to the apartment, rounding up Elizabeth Marriott's clothes, their own clothes, discarding those articles of clothing into various dumpsters, and they're also accused of smashing Elizabeth Marriott's phone and her GPS device and disposing of them.
And now that there are indictments, what comes next?
There is a May 2nd arraignment date. The next step for us is we are waiting for the Seventh Circuit Court in Dover to unseal some of the documents that might actually shed a little bit more light on this, specifically search warrants that allowed police to go into the apartment on Mill Street in Dover where Mazzalia lived and where the murder allegedly occurred. Also, we're hoping to get access to the arrest warrant that allowed police to take him into custody. Today, we did file a new petition in the Seventh Circuit Court. We think there is a lot of precedent in the New Hampshire legal system that would show that after an indictment, the public's right of access gets even a stronger hand. And I think the courts have shown a preference for giving public access after an indictment's issued. So we'll see how the court wants to rule on that request.
Jim Hadadine of Foster's Daily Democrat, thanks for talking with me.
Thank you very much.